Turn, if you will, in your copy of the scripture to Hebrews chapter 11, faith chapter. And today we're going to conclude our message series, A Missional Approach to Your Life. And final message, Everything Changes, is the title. In the last several weeks, we looked at the nature of things, nature of the world, nature of ourselves, nature of our faith, God's nature. Then we took a look at evangelism and how that sharing our faith with others is so important, and our own discipleship. And last week talked about that discipleship having that you can't really talk about discipleship without talking about spiritual warfare, because in the ways that God grows us. And so today we're going to take a look at and read this as part of the passage in Hall of Fame of Faith, which is Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about Abraham and Sarah and their faith. And, you know, essentially, the writer of the Hebrews, which I believe was Apollos, and whoever it was, what was given us the examples of all these people who walked by faith and who essentially practiced this idea: without faith it is impossible to please Him. For the one that comes to God must believe that God is, and that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So there's your theme. There's your theme. Everything changes. So the context of this message series is borne out in these statements, these four statements, these reminders. God has indeed spoken to us as a church. He has gathered us as a body for this time in history, for this time in our lives. He has merged us together, and there's no way in God's green earth that you could get this group of people together under any other circumstances. We don't fit in any other way. It's only by God putting us together that we fit. We are so different. We are so diverse. It boggles my mind to even think about that. But God has indeed, He has spoken to us. He has brought us together. Number two, He has specifically led us as a congregation back to our hub, back to the basic, back where He birthed us as a body, a specific place that we believe we heard in prayer that He wants us to call the hub, which is from Georgetown. I remember riding back and forth. Audrey and I, you know, I grew up in Savannah here all my life, and then we got married. We moved to Texas. And lived in Texas, other parts of Georgia. But I remember we would come home and ride by. And by the way, when I left Savannah, I wasn't that familiar with it. I'd read that scripture. I really didn't know what it meant, but I was probably in the mindset, I was shaking the dust off my shoes, and I never planned to come back to Savannah again in my life. In fact, mine and Audrey's plan was to pastor a church in the Smoky Mountains. that was our plan, and we never even got close to that. God had other plans. But when we would come back to Savannah, in particular, when we lived up in Middle Georgia, and we would ride down 204, and we'd pass through Georgetown. Every time we would go through that area, God would prick my heart. And back in those days, He's still growing me in my perceptions and things that I thought were my ideas a long time ago. I just realized God was planting them in me. He was showing me those things. But I can remember Him pricking my heart about that area, and I really couldn't explain it. Now I know. I know, because when I'm there, literally that place, it just, everything feels right. It just, I can, when we have picnics out there, so I do anything out there, I can just go sit in a chair, and it's like, I can just watch the birds fly by here. I know it is our hub. So that's the second thing. I know that He's done it. Number three, He's renewing our identity of who we are. We're not First Baptist of Atlanta. We're not the big John Hagee Church in Texas. We're not that church in Seattle. We're not, and fill in the blank. We're not any of that. Who are we? We are the Sycamore Church. And God has joined us together and He's renewed our identity of, that Acts 20:20, that they met both publicly and house to house, both being in large group and in small group for such a time as this. And many other things about our identity that He is renewing. And it doesn't mean that that's static either, but He is continuing to add to our identity. And finally, number four, these reminders. He is preparing us for the whole world, beginning at the hub. Because when you think about a hub gets its identity from what? The spokes that go out. And for us, and looking at the Great Commission, you know, he's commissioned us to go out and, you know, we start Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts. And that, you know, Dane called it, you know, the hub, Jerusalem, the other day. So start in Jerusalem. And it's not like we're going to do that. We're already doing that. But I believe God has even more for us in going out there. Which, by the way, just a matter of reminder to let you know, we've got a missionary couple, Ross and Kaysen White, who are going to be with us next Sunday. And they have been ministering in a Muslim country. And they're with YWAM, which is a mission organization. And I mean, I just can't wait for them to be. They were here before. You probably remember Ross, you know, good-looking young couple, and they're giving their lives there. I believe that's where God wants them. I don't want to tell too much of their story because they're going to share some of that next week. So with all of that, then thinking about the things that we know about the nature of the world, nature of God, our call to know Him and make Him known, and that being in the context of this battle that we're going on, when you look at this story, if you will embrace God's mission through you, a missional approach to your life, everything will change. Hence, then, this we want to read from Hebrews 11, 8 to 16. This is from the NLT. For it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home, to go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land he had promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, his child, his grandchild, who inherited the same promise. And Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So they were living in tents looking for a city. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Remember, she was old. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep His promise. Even though in the middle of that, she laughed a little bit, remember? Hence Isaac's name. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. Kind of nice for God to characterize you that way, isn't it? when He thinks about you, yeah, when God looks at me, you're as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed they were foreigners and nomads here on the earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country that they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Now, before I pray, I want to say something to you. I felt the Lord speak to me while I was standing down there. Remember that passage when Jesus is about to, healing is about to take place, and the Scripture says that Spirit was present, that God was ready to do that. I believe today we're in one of those zones right now. This time, right now. So I want you to be prepared to pray and know that heaven is open above you and God hears your prayer today. I believe He wants to act in our behalf. I believe He wants to do miraculous things in us. Okay, you ready? So, Lord, now, we thank You for Your Word, clear and plain. And I ask You in these next moments we share together, You'll help me deliver the message that You put on my heart for me and for the rest of us here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. A missional approach to life will change everything in your life, if you let it. Now, why would I say that, and why would I use this passage today? Well, first of all, it changes who can qualify. He'll have Abraham. If you go back and read, beginning in Genesis 11, you read his story, he and Sarah's story, how they came from Ur of the Chaldees, and if you follow the flight plan, they go up and then they go over. You know, that's how they're going. And if you read between the lines, reading the Scripture, you see God had probably started speaking to Terah, his daddy. And that Abraham, as I interpret those passages, Abraham was hearing God. His name was Abram back then. He was hearing God through all that. And that they eventually then then moved up to Haran. You have the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, Ur of the Chaldees down here on the Gulf. They do this over the Fertile Crescent. That's how they travel to eventually get to the Promised Land. But why would God choose Abram? Why would He choose Sarah? Why would He choose this family? Let me ask you a more personal question. Why would He choose you and me? Does God need, get that word, God need, does He have to have a special kind of person? What does God desire from us? What's this whole chapter about? It's about faith. That's the primary thing God's looking for. He's looking for that in us. So I want you to think with me here for a moment. You think that you don't qualify for God to use because you don't have this gift or that gift or whatever. And many of you don't even know what your gifts are. The way you discover your gifts is you get into the harvest and you start applying your life. Then you discover the ones God's given because He shows them to you, reveals to you very quickly. Very quickly, you find out when you have your hand to the plow what your gifts are, and then what more he will give you. But the devil beats us down. The world system beats us down. Said, "Oh, you can't do that, and you can't do that, and you can't." And you know, you don't fit the profile for this. I'm here to say to you today, that's all from the world. That's all from our minds and hearts. God looks at you, and the one thing He is looking for you, He sees you as the person He created. You're beautiful in His image. Every one of us has been struck in the image of God. And regardless of what the world has spoken to you, that's not who you are. You're the person God's created. So when you adopt this kind of missional approach to life and start seeing yourself as a person that matters, and that it does matter what generation you were born into, and that God placed you in a certain geographic place. That's why I began with all that stuff about the hub, because God is specific in that. He places us at time and at places for His glory and for His mission. That's what being missional is all about, in thinking in those terms. So then... that changes who can qualify. And somebody who's pretty average, like Abraham, qualifies. Sarah qualifies. Secondly, it changes the way you live. Not by sight, but by faith. Note what it says there. He went without knowing. They left. Now get this. Some of you guys, you married guys, track with me here, okay? You get a wild hair. You come in one afternoon after work and you say, "Pack it up, darling. We're leaving out of here in the morning. Where are we going? I don't know. All I know is we're going." Now, there's one or two of you wild hair women that are in here that would be music to your ear. But I imagine most of them. Now, man, I gotta know where we're going. So. Let me say to you, you need to give Sarah a little street cred here for understanding and being able to, "Hey, yeah, we'll pack it up. We don't know where we're going." This God has spoken. So they begin the life of faith together. Now, it gets messy. God makes a lot of promises. You go back and you read Genesis 12 and you see all those promises. You're going to be a great nation. You know, you're going to be multiplied and all this. And by the way, here they are. They're old people. And, you know, hey, time out. Let's do a little sidebar out here, Lord. We're too old to have children. You tell that to God. And apparently God had another plan, which He worked out. Do you see how close they are through the whole process to destruction? Here I've moved everything. I've come to this place that I didn't know and all that stuff. And each time God comes through, it changes the way you live. When you're on mission, we start listening to God listen to His voice, it will change the way you look at your whole life. Number three, it makes you a permanent foreigner. Now I want to read that to you again, what it says in verse 9. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Now, I know it's the promised land, and I know that's the place God intended them to be. But even in the midst of that, he's living there like a foreigner. You see, he left the concrete in Ur of the Chaldees. And he didn't put any down. He didn't pour any foundations when they moved up to Haran. He sees himself, they see themselves as foreigners in this land. Like that sermon I preached years ago, living in tents, looking for a city. Because they know at this point, we fast forward ahead and we look at our lives, that our design is not on this earth. We're to be with Him forever. Now, when He comes back and sets up His kingdom, we will be with Him. But the idea is that we are with Him. And in that sense, to the world and the world system, we will always be foreigners. That's not our homeland. Right here is not our homeland. Because how quickly can your homeland be taken away from you? Tell that to all the oppressed people throughout the world. Things that we in America have not had to experience in our lifetime, that these cultures experience on a daily life, on a daily basis. You think about one, I mean, you know, think about the average Israeli kid, you know, who wakes up, I mean, the preschool goes out, and the preschool teacher, what's she got strapped around her when she goes? She's got an Uzi. That's an automatic weapon, by the way. Imagine that. Go to preschool, strapped on, you know, she's in the, you know, here's the learning center and all, and what's on her back? An Uzi. And the thing is, she knows how to use it. Why does she have to do that? Because you can spit and get to the border of where she lives, where people are waiting there to kill them all. We hadn't grown up in that. We had no idea the way that happened. In Nigeria, when we're there, I'm reading, I'm remembering, you know, the last time the Igbo people, I mean, these other just tried to wipe them out, to wipe them off the face of the planet. And by the way, a little history lesson, there's a little place south of here that has the name Igbo, where a bunch of Igbos, rather than be taken into slavery, just walked out into the water and took their lives. See, but we have no idea of that. The Lord wants us to start looking at our world as not our home. We're passing through. And we have a mission while we're here. And let me tell you, time is clicking by. Number four. Rick, that's probably not a good sentence, is it? Take that to Savannah State with you and say, yeah, one of our pastors, he's got an earned doctor's degree, and here's a sentence he wrote. It busts up the status quo. It busts up the status quo. That's what a missional approach to life will do. It tears up everything. Now, where do I get that? Verse 11. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She was past the point. And man, if you think that a baby can change your life, can I get a witness on that? Anybody? Can a baby change your life? Man, I remember when Brandon was born. What do you do with it? And then he starts crying one day. How do you make him shut up? And then he gets this awful smell. What do you do about that? Surely there's a service you can pay to come in that does something about that. How do you deal? You can see how much a baby changes your life. That's right. I mean, we were dumb as a bag of rocks. She'd call her mama during the week and ask, or her doctor, the doctor delivered Brandon, and he's the one that called her, slapped her on the back, and because she called him every day, and slapped her on the back. Next appointment said, "Oh, you're just a spastic mama." It's great. Imagine if you've lived almost 100 years and you get a baby. Whew. We had Brandon. Then 3.5 years later, we had Megan. And we always thought, well, man, you know, why'd you just spit them out, you know, like that? And it didn't happen that way. And we waited a long time. Then we had Logie Bear. And it changed our lives again. Imagine for Abraham and Sarah, though. Imagine how much that bust up the status quo of God doing a work like that. It just, man, it throws a monkey wrench in everything. Suddenly, they have to give up their membership at the retirement home. They don't qualify anymore. Because what did we start out with? They're qualifying for something else. Maybe it's time God's wanting you to qualify for something else. And the way that happens is you receive what He wants to do in your life and He busts up the status quo. That's what He's going, one of the things He's doing with us right now. You know what's going to happen? As soon as we get a contract on this property, you know what we've got to do? We're going to be like one of the kids saying they're going to see the trailer going down the trail, and the kid's going to say, "There goes our church." Do we know where we're going to be? No. Have we been talking to everybody under the sun to find out some possibility? You better believe it. We're getting as prepared as possible, but we don't know where we're going to be. Let me tell you, that's exciting. That's God just coming in and saying, "Man, I'm about to bust your chops. I'm about to just..." Phew. So you've got to trust me. You've got to trust me during this time. Finally, number 5. It makes it hard to go back to the old life. Now this is what really intrigued me, and I like it from the New Living. Go down to verse 13. Let's read this last paragraph again. "Now, all these people died..." He's talking about everyone that went before in the passage. "Still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised. Did Abraham and Sarah ever see their seed multiplied? All the, like, sand on the shore? They never saw all that. But they received it by faith. They saw it from a distance and welcomed it." See, that's the view through the eyes of faith. You're seeing things out there that God's doing in and through your life, and you're seeing that by faith. They agreed they were foreigners and nomads here on the earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. They're looking forward to a country they can call their own. Because what have they done? Remember what I said here months ago? When I gave that illustration from the conquistadors? When they came to the ship, they said, "All right, boys, turn around and look at your ships." And they set fire to them. Then turned around toward the jungle and said, "Let's go." That's what Abraham and Sarah did. That's what all the people of faith have done. They're not longing to go back, but they're headed forward with God. The exciting future. Let me tell you, if you spend a lot of time dwelling over wanting to go back to another time in your life, that is dysfunctional. That is dysfunctional. Now, we can remember with fondness the things that went before, but we're never going to live those days before because that world doesn't exist anymore. We live in today, and it is rapidly changing. And He has called us to walk hand in hand with Him. So, let me tell you, so the days we're living now, we can look back on and say, man, those are the good old days. And what I'd say in addition to that is, say, and God, we're ready to experience even better. We're ready to experience even more. You see, once you've experienced that with the Lord, it's hard to go back to the old life. It's hard to return to that. When you get that buzz from that, walking with the Lord, you want more of that. If they had longed for the country they came from, they would have gone back. But what did they do? But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. What has the writer of Hebrews done with that? Oh, he went beyond Abraham and Sarah. He started talking about us. God's got greater things in store for us. I want you to join me today in that kind of life, looking forward. I mean, to leave it all, that nothing is left in the bag, that we put it all out there for Him and see what He will do in our lives and through this local church. And let me tell you, a lot of people are depending on us to be obedient to Him. Will you be obedient? Will you do what God has called you to do? And that isn't sitting on your blessed assurance. It's engaging. It's listening to His voice and doing the next thing. It's not letting your emotions get the best of you. Not, you know, letting this pity anything get in the way. In the big scheme of things, is it that important? If we're going to adopt a missional approach, and we believe we've been placed here by God, there's a bigger mission. And all of these other things have to be subjugated to that mission. Can't let it get in the way. What things are you letting get in your way today? And hence in God's way. He's ready. He's willing. He's able. He can do more than you ask or think. And He will show you His power. We're going to open the altar today. We're going to say, come and be prayed for. Come and renew your commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be on mission with you. I want some of that in my life. You'll never get bored with him. When I'm counseling married couples, and I talked to a man, and he said he's bored with his wife. Ding, 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 ding. You know, the force field goes up, and I see the big screen there. Number one, it says you're an idiot. Number two under that says you gave up a long time ago. You quit trying. Because let me tell you, men, as a side note, this isn't a sermon about men and women today, but if you tell me you got bored with a woman, there's no way you can get bored with a woman. Because you're simple and she's complex. And you will spend a lifetime trying to fathom the depths of who she is. Why do you think God created it that way? Because he knew we need a mission, guys. We need a challenge out there that says, you know, rah, rah, let's get up every day. Man, I got it figured out. Wait a second. Wait a second. So if a man ever said, man, I got bored. But see, a lot of us are that way with our commitment to the Lord. We got bored. No, no. Tell the truth. You gave up. You gave in. You gave over. Should have had that that Tom Cruise clip right now. Remember in Top Gun? Oh, this is super spiritual here now. When he loses his nerve, he's out there and his buddies are getting shot up by the enemy. And he say, man, it's time to re-engage. It's time to re-engage. That's what I'm saying to you today. It's time to re-engage. People around you are getting shot up. The world, the flesh, and the devil are just wreaking havoc in the earth. We've got the only answer. And it's our mission with the answer in the earth. It's Jesus. He changes lives. He saves you. He makes the blind to see. He makes the lame to walk. He makes the deaf to hear. He puts families back together. He can even put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Is anything too large for him? Let's pray. Lord, now as we open the altar, we ask you to come. As we pray, that we open ourselves to you and say, Spirit of God, come, move in us. Lord, I'm praying right now, if there's anyone in this room that has never claimed the name, that has never received Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, that today will be the day. Right now. Lord, I'm asking you for the sicknesses that are here. God, I'm praying for your healing today. I'm praying for signs and wonders from the Lord. Come, Spirit of God. Come. Let us get our hearts right with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Pastors are here to pray with you, plus anybody else that wants to come. The altar is open. Come. All right, we send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the love of the Lord Jesus, and under the authority of God the Father. Sycamore.